Very good. Good morning. Good morning. Can I encourage you, down the back you will find a prayer card and a praise card. The prayer card is on this side. If you have a need in any way regarding your life, your family, someone that's connected to you, and like we believe this with all of our hearts, that when we pray, God hears us. And not only does God hear us, but he acts on behalf of those who pray and who we pray for. And we have prayed for your prayer requests. We have stood and believed for you and with you. And you can fill one of these in on your, you know, after church, you can make a request. And we will pray for you guys. Our commitment is that we will pray for you. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that we have prayed consistently for something that you already may have written on a prayer card. That means on the other side, you have a praise report. And can I encourage you to fill it out? Give praise and thanks back unto God for what he has done in your life in an answered prayer. And you know what? When you write on that side, your answer to prayer, you look through a few of these cards and you will see someone having a need like you had. And here we are being able to say to them, hey, God answered that prayer for that person. And it brings hope and encouragement. Don't keep your praise report to yourself, but give it out and give it back onto the Lord. Amen. You will find them at the back of the church, lots of them. We've had a great time in the last 2 weeks of praying for the prayer requests. And we believe that God spoke. And as we were praying, he said, it's done. And we stood and believed, and it's done. Be expecting your answers. Be expecting, and when they come, make sure you give them praise and thanks. It's good to see a lot of visitors with us this morning. You are very welcome to Liberty Community Church. My name is Noel, and I am the pastor here. And we just know that God has called us into this community to reach people, to lift up his name. And as a result, this community is being blessed, and people's lives are being transformed. And that is why we are here. Can I encourage you, if you are on a team of any description in Liberty, be here this evening to connect with the rest of the teams of the church, because we are the team. We are the ones that are doing everything together. So you'll be here at 6 o'clock and we will have some connection time together. Just to say that we are finishing today, concluding a series over the last 5 weeks called Prison Break. You know, this I Want to Break Free that was in a song by Freddie Mercury. You know, that's the cry of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people's heart. I want to break free. I want to get out of this prison that I find myself in. I want to get out of this mindset. I want to be free. And we have, over the last 4 weeks, we have talked about different prisons. We have named prisons, looked at practical ways, and looked at what Jesus had to say about these different prisons. I would encourage you to get onto our website, get onto the podcast, and you can download what we've been speaking on, because some of it has been very, very informative, and some of it's been revelation from the Word of God, and some of it is very, very practical in coming out of prisons and staying free from your prison. So I can't go back into them at every sermon. So I would encourage you to download, get that onto an iPod or a CD, and listen to study the Scriptures. Study what's already after being talked about in them, and search the Scriptures for yourself. And then coming up in, not this weekend, the next weekend, could you just put that encounter weekend slide up? Now we have talked about prisons, we have looked at prisons, and we feel as a leadership team that it's not just good enough to talk about them on a Sunday morning, because there's limited time on Sunday mornings. And we put together this weekend, a Friday evening and a half a day on Saturday, a weekend called Encounter. And I want to tell you, sign up for this. Make yourself available and give yourself an opportunity to encounter God in a real, real manner. in a way that you're sitting under the preaching and the teaching of the word on a consistent level for a couple of hours. There'll be breaks in between, there'll be worship, there'll be practical things to do. But sitting under the preaching of the word and teaching of the word for that length of time, I guarantee you that you will be changed. There's something in you, somewhere along that day, you will encounter God on many occasions because that's the way it's designed. You will need to sign up for it just for the practical purpose of that we need to find out how many people we have coming for lunch. Lunch is a fiver. That's pretty cheap. And the goal is to get before God and to listen to his word and to spend time in worship. So I encourage you to sign up today. This is Anna. Anna, will you stand up? See Anna to sign up. Please go. Those who are on the worship, those who are doing teaching, those who are there, you need to tell Anna you're going because we don't automatically know how many people we need for lunch. So please do that. I am encouraging you to come to this weekend. Make yourself available if at all possible. This is a Christmas present that you can give yourself. Amen? Amen. Okay, Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this great people that's before me, Father. I thank you that you love each one, Lord. I thank you that you know where each one of us are at. I thank you, Father, that you gave your son for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you love to set prisoners free. I thank you, Jesus, that you came for the very purpose of setting people free. And Father, I pray that light and life and courage would flood our hearts this day. In Jesus' great name, bless this word unto us. Lead us, Lord. Lead me, Lord. This is the conclusion of Prison Break. You can get all of the things on the iPod. But tens of thousands of people are being kept in prisons of all shapes and all sizes. These prisons can include guilt, fear, worry, grief, discouragement, disappointment, depression, lust, anger, bitterness, jealousy, habits, addictions. You know, you look today even, and even the whole worry and fear that has been placed upon people from the media regarding the recession. Can I tell you, if you're a Christian, the Bible teaches us that we don't live according to the system of this world. That we belong to another kingdom. Don't give in to the fear-mongering. Don't give in to the you're going to have nothing to eat. You're going to, look at you, serve a God who owns everything. You live. He will provide for you. He will open doors for you. I'm praying for you that enduring this time as a Christian, that you prosper in the midst of all of this. That you get promotions, you get pay rises, that you come into the things of God that he has for you, because God will separate us from living according to the world system. Keep on doing what he says. Don't stop paying your tithe or giving your offering. Don't start giving to brothers. Don't stop giving to brothers or sisters in need. Honor what the word says, and I guarantee you. See, God's economy is not the economy of this world. We work along according to another system. But I tell you, if you listen and you allow all that stuff to get into your mind and into your heart, honestly, you become a prisoner to it. You become a prisoner to the fear of it and to the worry of it. People are in prisons of past failures. Can't get out, can't get beyond the failure that I allowed into my life or I brought into my life. People, prisoners to their past sin. People, prisoners to family situations and even family shame. Jesus wants to break shame off of us and get us out of that place. And I specifically felt this on my heart this morning about family shame. He wants to break you out of that prison. I remember having family shame. Did know it before I was a Christian. But because I had three brothers that were heroin addicts and they got up to all types of mischief and carry on and done things that were out and out wrong to people and on people. And I remember carrying that like around on my shoulders. Didn't really realize what it was because you learn how to fight it off. You learn how to use that shame or that thing to your advantage in some way. Well, if you say that to me, I'll get my brothers after you. There was 10 of us, 9 others and me. But yeah, inside you'd know people were looking at you or you thought people were looking at you. Oh, that's such and such's brother. Oh, that's such and such. That's her son. That's their matter. That's their da. And carrying this way of shame around that brings prison, or that's her husband, or that's his husband, or that's, and shame comes on people carrying it around. Even things of like alcoholism. Oh, that's her dad, or that's their family, that's their situation. And people get into prisons of shame and situations. People get into prisons of condemnation, walking around with this weight upon them that God is after me and everyone is after me. And when I do something wrong, I tie myself up in chains and I stay there. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is the scripture that we've been using over the last week as our base scripture. The truth of this scripture, Jesus, he goes to the synagogue and he hands them the scrolls and he opens her up to where Isaiah the prophet had spoken about Jesus so many years ago, so many even hundreds and thousands of years ago. And Jesus opens her up to Isaiah and he says these scriptures, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to release all those who are oppressed." You listen to the first declaration of Jesus, what Jesus said about himself. "I am the one who opens prison's doors. I am confident of this day, and I want to encourage you this day. Why can I be confident in saying that you can be free from your prison? Because Jesus is the one who opens prison's doors. I am confident that you can be free from whatever prison you find yourself in or you lock yourself up in, because this is the reason Jesus came to earth. He came to bust people out of prisons. He came to set prisoners free. He came to release those who are under the bondage of the jailer. The ultimate jailer to mankind is the enemy. The Bible calls the enemy, the Bible calls the devil, or the Bible calls Satan. And Jesus said, "I've not only come to bust you out of his control or his prisons, but I've come to destroy every work that represents the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, I want to finish this series, and I pray and I have prayed that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray this week that you would have courage and strength and boldness to walk away from your prison cell this day, this week. Make a determined effort, a determined decision to walk away from the door of your prison and slam it behind you." This is what Brother Jung said, that was in the Chinese guy. He wrote a book, or a book was written about him, called The Heavenly Man. It's the most fascinating book you'll ever read. You read and you go, "Man, either this is fiction, or I serve the most incredible God." And he said this, that Jesus said, "Get up out of your cell and walk." And that's the decision we're going to have. The power of God is there. What he's given us to do, will you get up out of your cell and take a few steps forward? And I pray that you will have boldness and courage this day to make your decision. See, you can preach till the cows come home. You can speak about this stuff and about prisons and shake some people's prison doors. But if there's no movement on your behalf or on my behalf, I'm going to sit there and watch everyone else getting free and walking out ourselves while I sit there, not activating the very power of God that is available to me. It's no good saying there's power. It's activated when you step out in faith and believe that God can set you free from any prison. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Acts chapter 4. It is amazing. We sing sometimes about the power of God. We declare it. And yet it's in movement that the power of God is activated. And we see in Acts chapter 3, and we'll get to 4 in a second, but in Acts chapter 3, there's an amazing situation. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And as they're going by the gate, the place called that was called Beautiful, at the gate, there was a man who went to the temple every day of his life. His profession was to ask people for money. He was crippled, he was lame, you could imagine all types of prisons that guy could have been in, not just in a physical manner, but certainly in a manner of shame or the manner of, this is my lot in life, I will never have an opportunity to even run into the temple and worship God or praise God like everyone else, because this is my station in life. See, many of us can say that about our prisons. This is my station in life. I want to tell you, that is a lie. That is not necessarily your station in life. And this man sees two of the disciples going by, and he asked them for money. And he asked them for something that came from earth. He says, can I have some money? And Peter said to the man, I have no money, silver or gold I do not have. But what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized that this was the same man who used to sit outside begging at the gate. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And then Peter gives an incredible sermon after that to the people that were watching and looking. But he wanted something from earth, and he gave them something from heaven, because something from earth wasn't necessarily going to get him out of his predicament, but something from heaven was going to release him from every prison that he could have found himself in. I want you to notice that he got up and he walked. He didn't sit there and go, am I healed? Am I not healed? Did God touch me or not touch me? He got up and he put action to his faith, and he received the very power of God. Happy days. You see him, I could imagine him. He goes into the temple and he's after getting a great miracle, and he goes into the temple and he's jumping and dancing. And do you know what the onlookers, they were looking at him now. You're like, imagine him saying, I was out there all the time thinking you were having a great time in here, jumping around and praising God, and look at you, you're all miserable looking. And he comes in, he's like, I'm not missing much in here. He didn't really say that, but he could have. Because they were now looking at him, jumping and praising God. You can see it sometimes in church. Someone's after getting touched by God. Yes, and someone's after getting set free from their prison cells. Someone's after is rejoicing in it. And the rest are sitting in some prison cells like, who does he think he is? He's, how come he got free? Because he got up and activated the power of God. Anyway, what happens in chapter 4, the guards come. And he throw John and Peter into prison as a result of getting the other guy out of his prison. Listen to some of it. Now, the priests and captains of the temple, in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, the priest and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000 people. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Yet Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them, by what power or by what name did you do this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, look at him getting this in, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and this man stands before you healed. See, Jesus, he was the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And he goes on to talk about salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to man by which a man could be saved. When they saw courage, the courage of Peter,
and realized that they were unskilled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing with them, there was nothing they could really say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do to these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it, but to stop this thing from spreading and any further among the people, we must warn these men no longer to speak to anyone in this name. And he called them in and he says, we don't want you to speak to anyone in this name of Jesus. And they said, who should we obey? You are God. We know the answer, don't we? In verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices in prayer. Together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you've made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. And he goes to quote David. He says, why do the nations rage against me and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Down to verse 32. Stay up there. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your anointed one. They did what your power had decided, therefore, should happen. Now, Lord, this is the prayer. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That was a lot of reading, and I'll break some of it down in one moment. But when you read, they prayed for boldness. When you go through the rest of Acts, you see Paul stood up and boldly proclaimed the gospel. Barnabas stood up, Stephen stood up, that they stood up boldly with courage, the Bible says. So I believe that this was one of the greatest prayers that the believers in the New Testament prayed for one another, that we would have boldness, that we would be able to look at our prison cells and boldly close the doors. Boldness is an amazing thing. In the dictionary, it says it's the opposite of being shy. Outside of a social context, because in a social context, boldness can be construed as arrogance. But outside of a social context, boldness can be referred to as somebody doing something that is not afraid of risks, that is not afraid to take a chance, that is not afraid to step out. It's synonymous with bravery. Boldness and bravery are in the same bracket. Someone said it's easy to be bold from a safe distance. I like the meaning of the other side of the coin of that. In our context, it's easy to be talking about freedom, but it's harder to actually activate freedom by stepping out in boldness. It's easy to sing about it while you're still in your prison cell rather than taking the steps of stepping out. Challenging stuff, huh? Robert Frost says, freedom lies in being bold. Sure, even Star Trek went where no man boldly ever went before. Boldness is brilliant. It can activate the very things of God. We see these guys stepping out in boldness. They were walking by, they see this man, and they prayed for this man who was in all types of prisons. And you know what happened? He got healed. He got up and he walked and he praised God and he told everyone what had happened to them. Why were these disciples bold? Why were they standing saying, hey, in the name of Jesus, you're going to get up and walk, and actually to get up and walk? What had given them that boldness? What were they basing their whole life on to talk about this boldness? The man was restricted. The man was locked up in himself. He was locked up physically. He was locked up mentally. He was seen as the beggar on the street. It says everyone knew him. That's the beggar. I've never had to beg in a situation like that, but I can imagine what it might bring into someone's way of thinking. What were they basing their whole stepping out on? Not only were they not in a prison, but now they were setting other prisoners free. You see it in the life of David in the Bible, in young David before he was king. Everyone else in Israel, when Goliath the giant came up, and here they were all, the Bible says they were terrified. They were dismayed, discouraged. They were living in sheer restriction and horror of this giant that was coming out to face them, because if their man lost, well, then all of the Israelites would be brought into captivity, into prison, to be subjected to the Philistines. Not just the men that were there, but their children and their children's children. Brought into a generation of captivity. And all of the men was terrified. And the king of the day, which the Bible describes him, a handsome man who was a head and shoulder above the rest. So he was a strapping guy who God picked to be the king. Where was the king at this stage? In a depression. He had done things that caused God to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore because you're no longer representing me. And God moved away from him, and King Saul went into a depression. So the leader that they were looking to, he was locked in a prison. And David, they reckon, a young boy between 12 and 15. Let's even push it a bit further. Maybe he was 17. His dad says, will you go on an errand, bring this cheese up to the commander and bring this and see how your brothers are doing. He comes up, on the way up, the giant comes out. The giant says, everyone's terrified. You know, you can imagine them looking at each other going, what are we going to do? Where's their leaders? Who's going to go out and fight this man? Who's going to tackle the giant? Who's going to tackle the giant of our family? He can represent their prisons. Who's going to tackle the giant? Who holds the keys to our future? David hears him and he goes, I will. They look at him, you go home, you little pup. You just came here to look at a fight and to look at the fight. That's what they said to him, his brothers. You just came to look at the fight. Being a cheeky younger brother, I was the second youngest. I know what I would have said. What fight? Is there all terrified? David goes out and you know the story. He goes out and takes the head right off of this giant. What gave him the boldness to go out and face this giant? What was he basing his future on of going out there? The answer is found in Acts 4 that we read. They said to John and Peter, by what name or what power did you do this? See, Peter and John could step out in boldness knowing this, that they already had received the power of God from on high. In Acts 1, in verse 8, Jesus said to them, before you ascend into heaven, go to the upper room and wait there till the promise comes. My Father will send the Holy Spirit and he will empower you from on high. See, it's not power that we need to be praying for. It's for the boldness to step out in the power. Because we've already been given the power, the Bible says. We've already, the Bible says the very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We already have the power, it's the courage and the free and the boldness to say, Lord, I'm going to believe that you don't want any person in prison because that's what your Bible says. And I'm going to step out, I'm going to make a decision, and I'm going to start taking steps to my freedom. There should be an amen. They already experienced the power of God. He says, we are now going to step out in what we already know. See, and they prayed. Why didn't they pray for power in Acts 4? They didn't pray for power. They said, Lord, would you give us boldness to speak your word? Would you give us boldness to proclaim what you have already done? They bring them before the Sanhedrin. They said, by what name or what power have you released or this man or set this man free or healed this man? In another word, by what power or name have you give this man a future? In other words, the Sanhedrin saying, by whose name or whose power have you set this man free from the prison of restriction? By whose name or whose power have you set this man free from lameness? By whose name or what power have you released this man from his shame? By what power or what name have you released this man to go into the temple to worship God like everyone else? They're doing it all on this basis. In the very name of Jesus and the power that is His. The power that they had experienced in the upper room, they said, it's that power. It's by this name, the name that's above every name, that we set this man free. The name of Jesus has the authority and the power of heaven behind it. We have somehow used the name of Jesus as some like get out of jail free card. That we use the name of Jesus too willy-nilly. We think we add it to the end of a prayer and that's it. Without really understanding or knowing or have asking God for revelation of the power and authority that is in that name. Why do you think Jesus, whose name are you using? Because the name is powerful. They knew in their day, if you said open that gate in the name of Caesar, that gate would have been open. Every Roman soldier would have opened that name. Why? Because of the power and authority and the force that's behind that would have been behind the name of Caesar. So when they said in whose name, they knew exactly who what they were saying. Whose authority? Whose power? What force is behind the name that you're proclaiming? The power and authority and the force of heaven is behind the name of Jesus. How can we be free and walk out of our prisons? What should we base our confidence on the name of Jesus? Now when I step out in His name, the power and authority and force of heaven is released when that name is proclaimed. The name of Jesus. I've been praying all for weeks now out of Ephesians 1. And it says out of Ephesians 1, it says, listen about Jesus, it says, that God showed this great power for us who believe. See, we can sing about the great power, but unless we step out in it, we'll never experience it. It's for us who believe. It doesn't say for us who sing about it, or dance about it, or talk about it, because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And if we're not seeing the power, we need to go before God. And if we're not seeing the power of God in our own lives, we need to go before Him on our own before God. Lord, your Bible doesn't say I have to stay in prison. So why am I in prison, Lord? What do I need to get out of here, Lord? Give me revelation of how to tackle this, Lord. Show me the practical steps I need to take to walk out. So the power is for us who believe, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Listen to this. Far above all rule, all authority, all power, and all dominion, and every name that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, which is us. He'd given Him. He says, what name? Can you imagine if they would have read Paul's letter before they went into the Sanhedrin? I'll tell you what name. The name that's above every name. By what name did you set that man free? Only the name that's above every name. Only the name that's above every power and dominion and every authority. Only the name that's above every prison cell with its name written on it. Name your prison cell. I want to guarantee you the name of Jesus, the Son of God. His name is above it. And I know what I do see in my life over my prison cells. The ones that I've been set free from. I look back and somehow I imagine over the door and blood is like, Jesus was here. Jesus had entered in there and got this little fella free to walk in liberty. Amen. The name that's above every name. What name do you do this in? Do you ever wonder why this world belittles the name of Jesus? Do you ever wonder why it's used as a curse? Do you ever wonder why it's questioned? Do you ever wonder why if you get on the Discovery Channel, you have all types of programs to belittle the name of Jesus? Was He really this? Did He marry this person? Did He do this? Did He really? Everywhere you go, why? Because that's the only name that's above every name. And what the world system is trying to do at the behest of the enemy of Jesus, the devil, is to bring His name and make it common. To make it little. To make it just a cuss word. Where when you read Ephesians, and you know the power that's in the name of Jesus and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, that it elevates Jesus' name, the power and authority in who he is and what is behind him, it elevates him to the place that is highest. So by what? How are you going to get out of your prison cell? By what name? What authority? What power? What's behind you to get out of your prison cell? Heaven. God Almighty. Him who speaks things into beings. Him who says, let there be light, and there's light. His name. Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. His name. Yeshua. The God who saves. His name. The Prince of Peace, his name. The one who sets prisoners free, his name. What I love about prisoners is this, that gets set free. We tell other prisoners. But by what name, Jesus? By what power? The power of God. Not by might, not by strength, but by the Spirit of God. Because if you could have gotten out of your prison cell by yourself, you wouldn't be even living in the prison cell. You'd be probably renting them out somewhere. Looking for a prison cell? I have a good one for you. What can you place your confidence in? The power of God. The name of Jesus and the power of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 that the righteous, those who believe in him, those who belong to him, can be as bold as lions. Said, the Spirit of the Lord said to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. Ephesians again says, his incomparably great power that is available for us who believe. Paul says, I pray that out of his riches, glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This power. Paul says to Timothy, stir up yourself, Timothy, because you weren't given a spirit of shyness, which is the opposite of boldness, or a spirit of timidity, but you've been given a spirit of love and of power and of right thinking. What, how are we going to walk out of these prison cells? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to stay out of them? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to tell other people where there's freedom? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Timothy, Paul was saying, God didn't give you this spirit of shyness that keeps you in prisons. Stir yourself up. Remind yourself who you serve. Remind yourself whose name you are talking in. And walk out of any prison of timidity. Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Guys, I'm finishing the prison series, I guess by looking at Acts. The key to unlocking boldness into our lives is to do what the first disciples did. They prayed for boldness. They didn't pray for the power, because if you are a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. The very power that was exerted to raise Jesus from the dead is available for us who believe. So just like the early disciples did, they prayed for boldness, for courage to be able to speak the words of God boldly. And when you read on in Acts, you see that they spoke the word of God boldly. And when they spoke in that name and by that power, people were healed. Set free, walked in freedom. Guys, whatever your prison cell is, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. God knows your heart. He knows where you're at. And God has the freedom that you can walk free. And it says when they prayed that the place that they were praying in was shook. And the Holy Spirit came and filled them all. And they all went and done what they did boldly. And that's what I want to pray for us this morning. The Holy Spirit would come. And that he would shake the very foundations, just like he did in Acts physically. Shake the very foundation of the prisons that we're in. See, when he rose from the dead, Jesus, he opened every prison. And that's why we're able to proclaim to the prisoners, now you can come free. How can we? What am I basing that on? What confidence are you placing that in his name and in his power? How can you say that? No, you don't know my prison. I know you. I don't know your prison, but he does. And he still says, I came to set you free. You don't know the shame, my prison shame, my family shame. I know I don't, but he does. And he still says, I've come to set you free. Isn't God good? That he would love us enough. The Lord said to John, in the book of Revelations, he said, John, I place before you a door. He says, now come on, step through it. Because he wanted to show him new things. The things that we read in Revelations 4:31, I think. He says, John, I put a door before you. Step through it. And guys, I can say based on the authority of that word of God, that you step through your door is your steps to freedom. Let's stand and pray. We could have just close your eyes for a moment. If you're visiting with us, don't want to freak you out or... But the reason why we just ask people to close their eyes is to give other people privacy. Because the one thing I've known about speaking on prisons, I'm not taking it lightly because this is your life. This is my life. These are real issues. These are real situations. And therefore, you deserve privacy before God. And we respect that. We welcome you, Lord. And I ask, Lord God, that you would increase your presence in this room. You would manifest your peace. You would manifest joy. Now, Lord, that you would just walk through this place by the power of your Spirit. You would just let just a fresh wind just blow past each person, Lord. It's the wind of your Spirit, a wind that has freedom attached to it, liberty attached to it. Lord, for some it's like, man, it's just where they're at, Lord, is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible to be free from this? Is it possible to step outside of this cell? Is it possible to be released? Is it possible to know the joy? Is it possible to know freedom? Lord, just brush by them. Letting them know, yes, there is. Just let the wind of God blow by them saying, yet it is possible. By what name, by what power can I be released? By the name of Jesus. Through the power of God. And maybe even this is your first time, you've never heard like a message or you've never been to church like this. But can I tell you the first steps of freedom? The first step to freedom is this. The Bible says again in Revelations that Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you open up the door, I'll come in. Meaning that that in this door and the doors of our hearts, that he won't barge in, but he'll wait for you to open it. And when you ask him to come into your life, into your circumstance, into your situation, into your heart, into who you are, he takes you at your word. And you can take him at his word that he will come in. And he will bring in heaven with him. And you will go on a journey, on an adventure of life that you will look back on and you'll go, you won't even know yourself. And the only way I believe that you can have this is by simply asking him. He knocks, we open. And on the night when I became a Christian, there was a simple prayer that I prayed. I was as sincere as I could be. And my life has never been the same. And the prisons that held me back, I realized that he that was in me was greater than any prison and any circumstance. And by trusting in him, I walked out of prison cells over a period of time. But maybe this morning you're here and you go, look, I need just to ask Jesus to come in. I'm at first step. And I need Jesus just to come into my life and forgive me of my wrongdoings, forgive me of my sin. Maybe if that's you this morning and you want to pray this prayer, we will all pray together, but if you want to pray it, you can just put up your hand and take it back down and say, no, I want Jesus to come into my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see your hand down the back. Thank you. Jesus, I don't need might or power. I need your spirit. I know this is something beyond me. I've looked for things in the world like the lame man. I've looked for silver and gold, but it didn't help me. But Lord, I need what they gave that man, something from heaven. No, that's me. You put up your hand and put it back down and say, just include me in that prayer. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you. I see your hand. Amen. Thank you. Now, Lord, I need your power. I can't do this by my own power, Lord. I need your power, Lord. So, guys, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came from heaven to earth to set me free, to forgive me of my sin, and to fill me with your power, your love, your joy, and your peace. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me and come into my life. Set me free. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for each person. I pray, Father, that those who are empty, those who have voids in their life, that, Lord God, that you would fill them up right now by the power of your Spirit, Lord. I pray, Father, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding would fill them up, would guard our minds, would guard our hearts. And I pray that the power of God would be released, Father. You'd fill them up like you did in Acts 4, Lord. You filled each one up with the Holy Spirit, Lord. You filled each one of them up with the power of God. And they were able to be bold and be able to break free from the prison, Lord, of fear. And I pray freedom in the name of Jesus. I release your power, Father God, for each one, Lord God. Each one, oh God, would know right now, like fire from heaven, touching their lives, touching their spirit afresh, Lord. And I call them out, Lord. Come out of your prison cell in the name of Jesus. That you have been given the power to step forth to your place of freedom. Now step forth in the name of Jesus and by his power. Your stepping forth today might be a decision to make. I'm amazed there are many people that are in the prison of indecision. Will I or won't I? Who will I offend? Who will I not offend? You're stuck and people are out there in your world and they don't even know you're in indecision. But you're the one that is in the prison. And can I encourage you today, if you have to make a decision about your future, make it based on that God has a plan and a future for you. Not based on whether you'll offend man or not. They said to the men in this Sanhedrin, who should we obey? You, men, or God? They made a decision, God. Come out of your cell of indecision in Jesus' name. The power of God is there for you to step out. Make your decision to step out this day. Could the worship team come back? Guys, I would encourage you to lift up your hearts in thanksgiving. Proclaim you've stepped out in faith. Take your actions. Take your actions to release the power of God. That the very prison that will try to wave its flag at you, you do not ever have to go back to that prison. This week as I was praying, when some people get out of prison early, it's called TR. temporary release. You know, and I was thinking, and I believe this is for someone here this morning, that like that TR, temporary release, that you come Sunday and get temporary release and go back to your prison cell on Monday. Don't go back tomorrow. Because you've been given the power of God not to go back. He has released you. He is the governor that says now you can go free. It's not temporary release. It's release full stop. It's liberty. It's freedom in the name of Jesus. You don't have to go back tomorrow. You activate the presence and the power of God tomorrow. Amen. And it's in not going back that you will experience the power of God.